It is good for us to be together today, to worship God, to see one another, and to join in prayer. We have been considering the theme back to school and back to church and sort of how faith and learning and school and all of that intersects. So today I thought in the course of our prayer, we'll pray for many things, but there'll be a time I'd give you the chance to name a teacher or two or three. Maybe it was somebody who was able to help you learn, to somebody that connected with you. So name a special teacher too, if you'd like to, aloud or in your heart for sure. Let's go to God in prayer, shall we? Dear Lord, we give thanks that your love is beyond our imagining. That you created worlds we cannot understand or imagine. That you created us and each one around us in amazing complexity and with delight. Lord, we're awed when we consider your magnificent creativity. Lord, we thank you for the rain that nourishes the earth, for the gift of summer produce and leisure time and family time. We pray for families and moments of transitions, for those who are near to weddings or baptisms or funerals. The gift of new life, babies being born, and for the hope and promise of resurrection in our death. Lord, we pray for those who whose work is difficult and for those who have no work and are seeking it. We pray for the poor who are not sure how they'll make it through each week. Oh, Lord, may they know your presence and may they know the goodwill of those who have more than enough. And help us to share. Lord, we thank you for students going back to school with eager anticipation for new things to learn. We thank you for administrators and those who make the building safe and clean and those who feed our children and coach our children and teach them. And Lord, we pray now particularly for teachers. Hear these ones who we thank you for just now. For Don Shockley. For Miss Pass. Lord, for all of these who taught us, we're grateful that we've named our hearts and our lips. And Lord, we pray for others who need their healing. Now hear our prayers for others' situations. For those sick and those needing help. Every grace and mercy, for every new strength that comes from your mighty love, we praise you. Lord, hear the prayers we make in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray together and to simply say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You know, I think of Jesus walking up and down Galilee with these disciples trying to get through their thick heads his way. And all the tricks and dodges they knew, like we knew. At the very end of the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus is taught. He's been rejected. He's been crucified. He died. He comes to life again. And it's almost like he wants to get one more word in. And the very last words of Jesus, very last paragraph of Matthew's Gospel, you know, his parting words to the disciples, Matthew 28. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. We're doing this little thing back to school and back to church, sort of where learning and school and our faith intersect. Last week we talked about new things, new beginnings, new notebooks, all of that. Next week we're going to talk about sort of our home, our relationship to those closest to us. Homework and learning. And then on the 28th, and some of you have wanted to do this for a long time, we're going to talk about how do we live with our opponents. It's going to be about sportsmanship in faith. So on that day, the 28th, not next Sunday, but the next, you can wear your team colors. You figure out what they are and how you want to display your team colors. But you have permission to do that, and we'll have some fun with that, as well as reflect on, you know, how do we compete and have opponents and yet be Christian and all that. So, you can wear your team colors next week if you really want to, but encourage you to on the 28th. Our kids are going back to school. If some have already been back a week or so, some start tomorrow and some start a little later. They will be learning new things. And if they're lucky and fortunate, they will have a teacher who understands that everybody learns in different ways. We don't all learn in the same way. For example, if a teacher gives out apples to the whole class, there are some people who take the world in and master the world by abstract thinking, concepts, you know, categories. So they would think, oh, an apple, a healthy fruit. I mean, that's sort of the category, the abstraction that thing is. But there are other kids, and you give them an apple, and they're more artistically inclined. They respond to shapes and to colors. And so they're going to look at that apple, you know, maybe the way it's really shiny and the way the light hits it, or the curve of that stem on that apple, and the way there's, you know, that little end of the bud down at the bottom. Some people take in the world through shapes and colors. And, of course, then there's some people who learn, it's called kinesthetically, they learn in their body. And so those ones, they're going to be juggling that apple, you know, is what they're going to be doing, popping it off their shoulder, you know, and spinning it. Because some people, manage life in the world. They do it, with their bodies. And then there's some, and they're going to be talking to their friends. They're going to say, "Oh, show me your apple. Did you see my apple? Do you like your apple? I like my apple. What do you like?" Because they learn and live around relationships. Some people manage the world through ideas, and some in shapes, and artistically, some it's physicality, and some it's just relationships. We have all these different ways of learning. It's called multiple intelligences. And, we're lucky if a teacher gets how we learn. Maybe you saw the film The Blind Side, and Michael Orr, this Memphis student, athlete, trying to hope to get into university, and he saw the movie. There's this one scene there. He's trying to get his grades up, and he's working on his English, and he's been assigned the Charge of the Light Brigade, this poem by Alfred Lord Tennyson. And it's about this, cavalry charge in 1854, this British cavalry unit, 600, into the Valley of Death, rode the 600s in the Crimean War, I think. And so Michael, his tutor, is working with him. He is not getting it. What is this poem about? And his foster dad, adoptive dad, says, "Oh, I love that poem." And the tutor says, "Well, then you help him with it." And he says, "Into the Valley of Death rode the 600. He said, "You know where Death Valley is?" He looked kind of funny. He said, "It's in Baton Rouge, LSU. The LSU stadium. They have Death Valley." He said, and then he begins to talk to him about how this poem is about team, being together as a unit and a team. It's about facing adversity with courage. It's about completing the plan, even when it's hard. And he gets it. He gets it. Because his dad knew how to help him learn. It is amazing to me that the Bible recognizes that we take the world in different ways. Particularly Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Have you ever thought why there are four Gospels, four stories of Jesus? Same Jesus, same guy they're talking about, but they tell the story in four ways. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, each with a different accent, a different emphasis, different perspective. If you like a road trip, if you like traveling, or if you're a foodie, you like eating. If you like those road trip shows on the Food Channel where they go different places and eat, you would love Luke. Because Luke's story, you check me out. Luke is these people on a road trip to eat somewhere. And they go here and eat, and they go there and eat, and Jesus is always having food with people, and he's traveling. That's what Luke is. It's a narrative of a travel journey with a lot of food along the way. Now, if you are more about relationships, you will love the Gospel of John. John is the Gospel where Jesus says, "I call you my friends." Friends. And it's all about this intimate, deep love of Jesus for us and our love for him. So John is all about that. Matthew is probably the gospel for this time of year, because Matthew, it's been called the teacher's gospel, because it's very clear the emphasis on being a disciple. You know what a disciple is? The word disciple means student. A disciple is a student, a learner. And Jesus in this story is the teacher, the mentor, the guru, the rabbi, the master who teaches the way. And Jesus' classroom, well, it's the whole world. Everywhere he goes, he's teaching. The countryside, the fields, the marketplace, the seashore, everywhere he goes, he's teaching. That's his classroom. He had four main texts. Now, they weren't books, but four texts that he relied on. The first would have been the Bible, which would have been the Old Testament, Jesus' Bible. But he didn't carry one of those around with him, the big Torah scrolls. You didn't carry those. And there's only one place where Jesus is described as reading it. It's in Luke. He actually goes in and reads one. But Jesus carries huge parts of it in his heart. You didn't have Bibles in your home, so you memorized big chunks of it. And so Jesus' first text was the Bible. Jesus' second text was creation itself. He taught from creation, seeds, flowers, birds, water, fish, sun. He taught. The third text Jesus had was his students' life. He taught people about their life. Things like sowing seeds, plowing, harvesting, baking bread, raising children, having children leave home, having children come back home. He talks about all of these scenes from ordinary life. Getting a job, losing a job. All of these kind of things. Building a house. One of his texts is the stuff of people's life. And of course, the fourth text was Jesus himself. One gospel says he is the Word become flesh. The idea that the truth is embodied. So Jesus right there living is this perfect example of what a person who is fully in love with God and fully in love with his neighbor looks like. So you've got these Jesus going around teaching, telling these stories from people's lives. And they all had one point, really. What he wants people to know is that God is with them. That's, his parting words, the last sentence of the last chapter, last paragraph, I am with you always. From beginning to end, Jesus' message is, God is with you. God is not far off. God is not out there or up there. In Matthew, he uses kingdom of heaven. In the others, he talks about the kingdom of God. But the point is, God is with you. We preachers have much to confess, but one of the things we have to confess is that we have made Christianity into sort of an evacuation insurance policy. A few months ago, I went to Ireland with this preacher study group, and this foundation gave us this little grant to help us do that. And one of the rules was we had to have evacuation insurance. Sort of like, you know, if we got over there and got sick, or God forbid, one of us died, they didn't want to have the responsibility of getting us back. They wanted us to have some evacuation insurance. Sometimes the Christian gospel has been presented by us preachers as nothing more than an earth evacuation policy. If you will say the right words or do the right rituals in the right way, get baptized in the right way, take communion in the right way, if we will do those things in the right way, when we die, our earth evacuation insurance policy kicks in and we will be with God. But read the Gospels. Read this stuff. And what you will see, it's more than that. What Jesus is inviting us on is a journey of transformation. Not just when we leave this earth. He wants to change our lives now. God's presence and God's grace will change us, transform us. It will make us to resemble Jesus more. The thing is, he will not change us unless we want to be changed. His Spirit will teach us. In the Bible, the Holy Spirit is a teacher. It's often described in that way. If we will consent to be with God, for God to work on us, God will consent to be with us. But that means we have to be open to ways of learning every day, every day. And it's a lifelong thing. You know, we have moments of conversion or insight or revelation or renewal or recommitment. All of that happens. But, you know, over the course of life, we it's probably a slower progress. You know, maybe plateaus. I don't know. For me, it's kind of three steps forward and two steps back. or sometimes 3 steps forward and 4 steps back. It takes a lifetime for us to be transformed into the image and likeness of Jesus. It's like this guy who was in charge of the schools in Seattle. He was a major general, retired general, and people would ask him, how are you? How are the schools doing? He said, perfect, but improving. Yeah, it's kind of that. We're there and yet. And that's how it is with our faith. We are already God's children. But what God will do to us, it's kind of like a couple getting married. Wedding consultant told us the other day, the average wedding is 12.5 minutes. 12 and a half minutes is how long it takes to get married. But how long does it take to really, be married, to grow into that, to deal with our selfishness and our stuff, those of us who are married? In some ways, we're learning all our lives as we go through different seasons of life. Well, it's kind of like that with our faith. You got to show up for class. There are no shortcuts. You got to do your spiritual homework. I'm sorry. It's kind of like my blood pressure. I have hypertension, high blood pressure. My doctor said, he said, your mama have high blood? I said, yeah. He said, your dad? I said, yeah. What about your grandparents? Yeah. He said, well, you got it too. I said, well, is there something I can do to fix this? He said, well, you ought to eat better and you ought to, don't eat salt. You need to exercise. I said, okay, and that'll fix it? No, that won't fix it. You're going to have to take medicine. You have a chronic disease. You're going to take medicine the rest of your life. Well, gee, thanks. But there is medicine. In the same way, I struggle with the chronic disease of self-centeredness. Its symptoms are resentment occasionally, judgmental attitude, prejudices. I have a million ways in which I pretend to be God. And I pretend to be right and to have control. I know everything there is to know about myself, and I could really tell you all what you need to do. That is just how it is with me. It is a chronic condition, perhaps an addiction, to being right, to being in control. It's a sickness, so I have to have spiritual medicine every day. I have to have spiritual medicine every day. I've got to have the regular practice of prayer, of spiritual reading, of study and reflection, of Sabbath. Times when I am just simply still and quiet with God. I've got to have a group, Bible study groups and other groups in the church that help me curb my selfishness and help me serve and help me learn from others in small discussion groups and frequent Holy Communion. I got to have all of those things that are medicines for the soul. That they said that in about the 3rd century. That's what these Christian disciplines are. Which means that it's a lifelong thing for us. Learning to love our neighbor better. Learning to love God more completely. We do make progress, and yet the more progress we make, the more we see that we need to be changed and to learn to love. Some of you old enough to know the name Eartha Kitt. She was a singer, actress. She was, I think, the 2nd Catwoman in the Batman television series. She was Batwoman, before Anne Hathaway was even born, current Batwoman. And she sang Santa Baby, one of the best Christmas songs ever written. A lot of people tried it. Well, anyway, Eartha Kitt grew to be an old woman. Died not too long ago, but she said, I try to learn something new every day. She said, I'm not going to stop learning. She said, my diploma will be my tombstone. Yeah, pretty good. We show up ready to learn every day. But we have to decide to do that. About 20 years ago, not quite, I guess it's 12 years ago, a woman named Marion Wright Edelman received the Presidential Medal of Freedom. She was raised in South Carolina, born sort of the end of the Depression. Family was poor. She said, I never saw my dad without holes in his shoes. She said, but he was big on learning. He was big on learning. She said he died when she was 14. She went in the ambulance with him to the hospital as he was dying. And he said, you got to promise me that you're not going to stop your education. And she promised. She said that her dad would come in every day and ask his children, said, did your teacher give you any homework? And she said, if we said no, he would say, well, assign yourself. Assign yourself. He said, she said, we just knew. We had to go get something to read or practice our math or do some writing. Assign ourselves. You know, get ahead. And I guess it worked. She said, you know, like I say, my dad always had holes in shoes, but eventually his two children graduated from college. And interesting, Marion Wright Edelman became the first African-American woman to be admitted to the bar to practice law in the state of Mississippi. And she's still an advocate and a spokesman for children, poor children, and education for all our children. Assign yourself. I think that's a pretty good thing. If you want spiritual growth, assign yourself. What the church aims to be is multiple opportunities for you to figure out how to grow in your spiritual life. In your bulletin, worship order, there are descriptions of all kinds of classes. There's some starting up that Kim Seitz will be teaching about. I said, let's call it Bible for Dummies, and she said that was too insulting. But it's kind of a, you know, these are entry-level courses, different duration. One, by the way, will go through the Gospels and look at how the different Gospels present Jesus. But those are going to be offered some in the evening, some in the morning. There are Bible study groups for youth, for children. There are Sunday school classes that meet at this time. And there are occasional studies that pop up, and we'll do that. There are retreats the church does. I want to invite you to assign yourself this book. We will have, beginning next week, these books available. For 40 days in September and the first week of October, I hope our whole church will be reading a 40-day devotional. It's Treasures of the Transformed Life. It's by John Ed Matheson. It's got big print, and it's got just simple one- or two-page little readings for each day. And I hope our whole church will be reading that. And the subject is those things we do and the commitments we make that transform our life, that deepen our life, our walk with God, and change us. And so they'll be available next week for you to get if you'd like that. And then in September we'll start reading that. And there will be some small groups discussing them. So you can not only read it, but you can, for those 6 weeks, if you'd like, get together with some other people and talk about what you're reading. So I invite you to assign yourself. Jesus says, behold, I am with you even to the end. He is with us. The simple question is, will we open ourselves to his presence and enjoy it and learn and be changed as he would change us? Shall we pray together? Lord of life, giver of gifts of different ways of learning, the gift of the seasons of life. Lord, we come to you hungry and thirsty for more of you with us, that our lives would be better, that we would know peace and strength beyond our own strength, that you would help us rein in some of our hurts and to be transformed, to be more like Jesus. Oh, Lord, be with us and help us to see you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, would you stand? We might be blessed. Lord of life, send us forth with your blessing. With eyes wide open to the mercies of God all around you, see God at work in your life. Give thanks. And, love this one who's loved us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen.